Chapter 2 talks about graphologist and handwriting analyst. How many here are trained as handwriting analyst first or graphologist? Anyone took training already?
I am. It's yes. Pam.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Now, Walker pretty much lays a case out that says, hey, it's great to be a handwriting analyst. You're going to know handwriting better. You've already been working with it for years. You know, you already know subtle differences in shapes. It's a really good thing. He also mentions that unless you came into doc examining through your interest in handwriting, you probably were a government examiner, and you probably have a prejudice against graphologists. And I say they wrote graphologist. That generally means one who studies handwriting for character. There's different theologies, and there's different mechanisms for graphology, and some of them are really accurate, some of them are not. The general principle is this. When you're a doc examiner, you want to only answer questions relating to the science or the system of forensic doc examination. You will be tricked, you will be cajoled, you will be attempted to look like a graphologist first, a doc examiner is a second thought. When you finish your training, you will be a doc examiner 100%, and whether you have any graphology experience or not will be completely irrelevant to your ability to get the right answer and testify. I am the best known graphologist in the world, probably, with my TV exposure in the books. And when I'm on the witness stand, it's hard not to bring that up as part of my curriculum. In fact, the lawyers sometimes accidentally, you know, bring that up. Like, you know, one of them once said, well, you know, didn't you say that so-and-so did not kill JonBenet Ramsey, something like that. And they were trying to embarrass me, and it turned around saying, you know, actually what I said was when I was on Larry King, here's the quote, da-da-da. And, of course, the jury went, oh, my God, he was on Larry King? Wow. So it messed up. It messed them up because they were trying to make me look bad instead of making me look good. The graphologist is going to help you, but when you talk about it on the stand, if they hand you writing and say, well, what's this personality, you just have to say, that's irrelevant. And again, we'll give you lots of coaching on being the witness stand. Don't worry, it will not hurt you. Does anyone know the law that they mentioned in Arkansas or the case that he thought was good that you know? Can anyone quote it?
I think I could, but I'd be cheating because the paper's right in front of me.
Well, why don't you read it for me? We don't care if you cheat a little bit on a phone call.
Okay. An Arkansas appellate court handed down a ruling in one of its cases stating that being a graphical analyst does not qualify you to be a document examiner. In other words, the court disqualifies any person who has training in handwriting analysis alone without specialized training in document examination. Any attorney who does his homework will discover this ruling and use it against a handwriting analyst at trial.
True. Now, how would you defend that? Who am I speaking with, by the way?
That's Tam.
Tam, how would you defend that? Tam, have you studied the handwriting courses, like the graphology stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So Tam, have you read some books on graphology?
Yes.
And which book? You're certified as a graphologist. From where?
From the International Graphoanalysis Society. It's IGAS.
Okay. So you actually did go through IGAS, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. Does anyone know what IGAS is besides Tam? It's a separate company. What is your title graduating from the International Graphoanalysis Society, Tam?
I did the master's certification, so I became a master graphoanalyst.
Master graphoanalyst. Now, let me ask you, as a master graphoanalyst, other people on this phone call graduated from a school called Handwriting University. Are you familiar with that?
Of course.
Of course, and that, of course, is something that I have a little bit to do with.
Uh-huh.
Is there anyone here, Wendy, that will or have graduated from Henry University as a Henry analyst?
Yes, I did.
Who's that?
Wendy.
Wendy. And are you graduated yet?
Yes.
Okay. What is your title?
My title is Certified Handwriting Analyst.
Certified Handwriting Analyst. So let me ask you, of the two people, Tam and Wendy, which person would this ruling affect? One, both, or either?
Well, Tam.
Tam, what about Wendy? She's a handwriting analyst, too. Explain that.
Because I thought the ruling was for anybody who was in graphology.
Was it? What did it say? You guys are thinking, I can tell. You're confused, aren't you? By the way, this is something that not one attorney would know. I'm about to give you a tip. So here's the question. Which person, Tam or Wendy, would be negatively affected by this ruling in Arkansas?
If it's true, I would think Tam.
How many vote Wendy? How many vote both?
I vote both.
I would vote both.
How about just Tam?
I would vote Tam.
Okay. So why would you say Tam? Who said that?
Nanette.
Why did you say that? Is there a logic behind that?
Well, it says in here handwriting analysis is a scientific discipline. It's not supposed to be confused with astrology, numerology, or tarot, which graphology is.
Where does it say that?
It's on page 10.
Okay, yeah, no, but I'm talking about the law in Arkansas. What did the judge say? What was the ruling that he handed down? You guys are struggling on this. Why is this
so
hard?
I said it early. It said being a graphologist or graphoanalysis does not qualify you to be a document examiner.
Excellent.
And she's using that as a title, and if she was to give that title in court, then he would probably automatically excuse her from being an expert document examiner.
Got it.
Whereas you've given yours a completely different title.
Right. So you're exactly right. I want to give us information that no one knows. Well, obviously, Tam, you know this, and a lot of Henry will know, but the general public doesn't know, and Tarzan won't know. The term graphoanalyst is the term that IGS uses for their graduates. It's also the form of handwriting analysis, which they coined. But they also did something one step farther, which they thought was something brilliant and something that would really help them, and I guess it sort of has to some point, but it also probably hurt them. Because most people have never heard the term graphoanalyst. They've heard the term graphologist, handwriting analyst. They could use it interchangeably, if they could, with graphology. However, did you know that IGAS trademarked the term graphoanalyst? Tam, did you know that?
No, I did not.
It's trademarked, which means I can't even put it like on my website, or they can send me a letter and say you've infringed a trademark. Because only people that have been through the school and are still members use that term, only a handful of people use the term now. So as far as an industry standard, which was the mission, it sort of fell short of that. However, because that's a trademark term, anyone that has never been trained at IGS doesn't fall under that law. So you can say, you know, excuse me, but I'm not a graphoanalyst. And the judge will go, what? Well, no, graphoanalyst is a trademark term from IGS. And you're telling me that only graphoanalysts are not. So this law does not apply to me because I'm not a graphoanalyst. That's the first part of your defense. Everyone agree?
Wow. Good.
Mhm. I only heard two acknowledgments.
That's interesting.
Now, here's the second part of your argument, Tam, and this is for you. Even though you studied graphoanalysts, you still need independent training in doc examining because graphoanalysts alone would not let you qualify. By the way, they don't disqualify you because you're a graphoanalyst. They're just saying that training doesn't make you a doc examiner. If you are a graphoanalyst, you just have to say, you know what, I am a graphoanalyst, but I didn't use any of that information. I'm also a certified yoga instructor. I didn't use that either. And I'm a damn good cook. But guess what? All that training is irrelevant because I have 2 years of training with the International School of Doc Examining, and here are all my professors, and here is my training, and here's my test scores, and guess what? It's irrelevant that I also studied handwriting. And you just sit there and go, my credentials rest on my doc examining training, not my graphology training.
Okay.
What I wanted to point out to you is, for most of you, that law is irrelevant completely because the term graphoanalysis is trademarked from a certain theology or school. And secondly, it doesn't even matter anyway because you do have independent training. But you will find a lot of people that had graphology training call themselves dog examiners. They're self-taught. They read Osborne's book, and they're taking people's money. And I just don't think it's probably fair, but it's easy to beat them in court.
What graphology cannot reveal. Now, if you're on the witness stand, you may find yourself in the uncomfortable position of defending graphology. Now, even if you've said graphology is not part of this exam, I've studied graphology, I've also studied doc examining, they're two different fields completely, it is useful to be able to defend a little bit about the validity of graphology. And you should know that graphology cannot reveal age, race, gender, and it sure can't tell the past or the future. So if the opposing attorney decides to use graphology as a tool to discredit you as a witness, you need to know a lot about graphology. We'll go into much more detail on how to handle this kind of cross-examination and credibility issue in the module on Be an Expert Witness. However, you should know that graphology should not be confused with palm reading, astrology, tea leaves, any sort of thing that would be considered spiritual or esoteric or discreditable. You want to distance yourself as much as possible from those types of assumptions. Many doc examiners don't ever study graphology just so they can say, oh, I've never even read a book about it. Now, I took that approach when it comes to astrology because I took graphology and handwriting as a scientific perspective and a therapeutic. Again, we'll get to more details on how you can defend yourself, but you should know that graphology doesn't reveal age, race, gender, past or future, and not to confuse it with any of those so-called arts or touchy-feely stuff that can discredit you. Now remember, graphology is a very useful science. It's a very useful skill, and there are Fortune 500 companies using it for employee screening. You need to know the foundation. You need to know the credibility of graphology so that when you answer questions on the stand, you don't seem defensive or you have the ability to correct the opposing attorney if he's using your graphology training, if you have any, as a negative point. People use graphology to do criminal profiling. It's very common in looking at serial killers or people who write ransom notes to get a criminal profile to help solve the case. It's also very common in relationship counseling. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal published in 1988 that says over 80% of all companies in France employ a graphologist to do a personality profile before hiring someone. It's also very common in the U.S. So it's good to know the stats that graphology is a useful skill. It's not hocus pocus. It's not used in the fair just for entertainment alone, although it is used as entertainment because it's so interesting. If you can answer questions about graphology intelligently, respectfully, saying it's a very, very valuable personality assessment tool, but I didn't use it in this case because this case is about document examining. The most common answer or metaphor would say, hey, I'm also a great ice skater, but I didn't use my ice skating skills to come to conclusion in this case. I don't see how graphology is related to this case. And that should be the end of that. We'll go more into this concept of how to handle graphology questions in the module on being an expert witness. Handwriting is brain writing. If you've been to any of my more personal development topic seminars, you realize that I have a firm belief that handwriting analysis and graphotherapy can change lives. I've been teaching the concept of graphotherapy for almost 20 years, and in the last 10 years, the science of neurology and neurolinguistic programming has really caught up to prove what graphologists and graphotherapists have been saying for many, many years, that changing your handwriting affects the personality traits. That means that by changing movements in your hand, changing the physical body, it can affect your actual thought processes. Now, there is a science behind this, and it would be useful for you to understand the science because it relates to handwriting. Whether or not you believe handwriting relates to personality traits, it doesn't matter. Handwriting is a reflection of the thoughts, the neurology, and the physiology of a human being. So thoughts are simply bundles of neural pathways firing in your brain. This is science. If you repeat the hand movements over and over and over, the result is a stronger habitual neural pathway. neurology. Now, the reason I bring up neurology is because handwriting is an expression of physiology, and it starts in the brain. It starts with a thought. You'll notice this as you look at elderly person's handwriting. You will often see health issues, shakiness. This is a part of any doc examiner's responsibility to understand the health condition of an elderly writer. Now, why does it reveal it? Well, that's a long conversation. The fact is, it does reveal it. And whether or not graphology is brought up, part of your voir dire, or is ever brought up, handwriting is brain writing, and it has direct correlation with what I call brain chemistry. So if you look at the slide right in front of you, there's a couple of blanks, and I want to fill those in. It's not handwriting, it's brain writing. So fill in the blank, brain writing. A thought travels along a what pathway? A thought travels along a neuro pathway, N-E-U-R-O. A neuro pathway is an actual physical thing. It's an actual microbiological electrical thing which you can see under a microscope. Very high-powered microscope, I might add. Now, the phrase here that follows has to do with the tendency to create habits, tendency to create beliefs, the tendency for a brain to have habitual thought process. This phrase that I'm about to tell you could change your life on a personal development level. Now, this course, of course, is not about you. It's about handwriting and about doc examining. But if you want to learn more about it, remember this phrase: what gets fired together gets wired together. Now, there's two blanks there, fired and wired. What gets fired together gets wired together. Now, I was reinforced. I knew this before. It's actually in my Success Seeks the Rich and Happy book. But I relearned it when I made a friendship with a man named John Assaroff. He's in the movie The Secret, which talks about how thoughts can create your reality. And they also go into the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, highly recommended for a great presentation using graphics and sort of Hollywood special effects of how brain chemistry really works to create belief systems and project your world. But the concept that John really taught me and exemplified was that what gets fired together, meaning thoughts that gets fired together, emotion plus an event plus a trigger, they get wired together. So for example, if you see a train and you hear a sound of a train and you see your dog get run over by a train, all that gets wired together. So next time you hear a train, you think about your dog. It's all triggers and anchors. And that is the same reason that your brain writing or your handwriting has similar aspects, because they're wired, they're hardwired in. And it takes quite a bit to change your handwriting, including a lot of habits and repetition. But that is the key here. Brain chemistry equals brain writing, and that all has to do with a neuro pathway. Neurology applied to graphotherapy. Now, you'll rarely find me endorsing talking about graphotherapy on the witness stand. However, I have been deposed and asked specifically, do I believe in graphotherapy? I know my father, Kurt Baggett, has been asked that question directly, and he said, yes, I believe in it. Why did he say yes? Because that's what he believes. There is no room for lying or exaggerating on the witness stand. So if you believe in God, you say, I believe in God. If you believe in small pink elephants in your basement, you have to say that. If you have experienced that graphology has changed your life, which many of our students do because they came to doc examining through our self-improvement courses, then you have to say, yes, I believe it changes lives. If you do say that, you need to have some verification of why you think that sounds somewhat scientific. The idea of simply, I believe it because I believe it, probably won't hold water in a jury's eyes. But if you say, well, let me tell you something. You may not believe that changing your handwriting can affect your personality trait, but I will tell you this. In physical therapy, if a person has no movement in his arms or legs, they move the legs over and over and over, and eventually that movement in the leg creates firing neural pathways in the brain, and then in many cases, the leg and movement in the legs come back to life, despite the doctor saying there is no way he'll ever walk again. Now, it's my belief that changing your physiology does affect the brain, And I believe that handwriting is brain writing. Therefore, you can change the movements of your hand and have some effect in the thought processes or the neural pathways of your brain. Now, I believe that creates certain habits, such as negative thinking, such as self-esteem, such as perhaps trust. You don't have to believe that. We're not here to even discuss it today. We're here to discuss document examination. However, it's important for you to use words like postsynaptitious neuron, dendrite, neural pathway. These words are important for you to understand because if you're ever going to discuss neurology or physiology, which is with the basic of handwriting, you really sound intelligent on the witness stand. Now, this slide is actually from more of my personal development seminars, but it says a habit or personality trait, T-R-A-I-T, is really just millions of neural pathways firing in the same sequence time after time from the same stimuli. The easiest way to change yourself is to change the neural pathway that each thought travels inside your brain. Now, of course, you could spend years in therapy doing it. You could take a shorter approach, which is change certain aspects of your handwriting in graphotherapy. And, of course, there are hundreds of other effective ways to changing your personality traits, your thoughts, your habits. Now, this course isn't about personal development, but I think it's important to understand how neurology does apply to handwriting. Barron University has an entire degree program, a PhD program, get a doctorate in neuropsychology. Now, that tells you that there is a lot of information to know about neurology, psychology, and how it affects the human condition. So I encourage you to study more about neurology and especially about graphotherapy, if not for the science, just for yourself.